time once again to tune in to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, and we're in lesson 33 in Matthew, chapter 10, verse 40. Chapter 10, verse 40, where we left off. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of the righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall nowise lose his reward. They are identifying in its passages down through 42. They're identifying as representing who? Christ. You got to remember chapter 10, the book of Matthew, chapter 10. Jesus Christ chooses 12 disciples and he turns them into apostles and he commissions them. That's what chapter 10 is all about. It's commissioning the 12 to go out to do some things. So if he's telling them to go out and he said, if they receive you as a prophet, if they receive you as a righteous man, if they do it in the name of disciples, who are they representing if Christ sent them out? Christ, okay? If you do this to them, you do it to me. That's what he's saying. So an apostle is God sent. Apostle is someone who's going to be representing God Almighty on this earth when he's an absent, if you will. But they are more than just representing him. Spiritually, okay, part of the blessing of the new covenant has to do with the spiritual identification as their Messiah. Hold your finger there and go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Starting with verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give unto you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. How long? Okay. Now, is Jesus Christ with them now? Okay, he's going to provide them a comforter that's going to abide for them forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelt with you and shall be with you. I will not leave you comfortless, and I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. At the day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Guess where those guys are at? Where? No. They're on earth, but where are they at positionally, spiritually? Where? No. Think about what we just read. They're in Christ. If he's in you, if he's in the Father, and the Father's in him, and he's in you, they're in Christ. They're not lost. They have the Spirit with them. Okay? So many times we look at some things, Christ is in them according to the prophetic program. We know, is Christ in you according to the mystery program? How? How do you know that? Talk to me. Okay, through the Word, Paul tells us that we're in Christ and Christ is in us. But they're according to a prophetic program. Remember that. That is in the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, Christ dwelling in them by His Spirit. That's what He's telling them. He's saying, if I'm in the Father, and Father's in me, and I'm in you, where's the Spirit at? I'm going to give you a Comforter, and He's going to abide for how long? Forever. A great sign of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He's forever. Christ dwelling in them by His Spirit. And them dwelling in Christ by His Spirit. And it's all according to the prophetic program. You know, so many times us grace believers, we don't accept that. You know, that we try to make it, that's indwelling. They say, oh, no, you know, they didn't have the Holy Spirit over here. And that made a difference. The Holy Spirit could leave them. That type of thing. Can the Holy Spirit leave you today if you're saved?
No.
You know that. I believe if they're saved in times past, that, you couldn't lose it either. Then that's me. But go to Ezekiel chapter 36. It's according to prophecy. Get Ezekiel chapter 36. And Jeremiah 31. Ezekiel 36.
Chapter 36.
Ezekiel chapter 36 and Jeremiah 31. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. Ezekiel 36. Verse 24. If you want to look at verse 23, it says, "And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall sanctify you before their eyes." Has that happened yet?
No.
Amen. It has not happened yet. Even though many say they're over in the land right now, have they sanctified God Almighty in the sight of the heathen eyes? Has God sanctified them? Look at verse 24. "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you," that's talking about Israel, "out of all the countries and bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all of your filthiness, and from all of your idols will I cleanse you." Has that happened yet?
No.
Aren't they still Israelites all over the world?
Yep.
Verse 26, "A new heart will I also give you, Israel, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away a stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgment and do them." Is that going on today? Well, you know that's not true, right? It's not going on today. Verse 28, "And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." Hey, that's a prophetic program that God is going, that's prophecy. And God is going to put their spirit on them, and He's going to be with them forever. Go to Jeremiah chapter 31.
So they are born again.
That's what it's all about. That's why John says ye must be born again. That's what he's talking about. When was they born the first time? That's a good question.
Moses.
When they came out of Egypt. He said, "Let my firstborn go." And they come out of Egypt, born the first time, doing what he's supposed to do, had the statues and all that stuff. But they failed, didn't they? So God told them, said, "You've got to be born again." He's talking to Israel. That's not a term for the body of Christ. And I know we use that term loosely.
And born again is actually for the Old Testament.
It's for the Old Testament saints and the New Testament. That's what we're talking about. Look at Jeremiah 31. This is where the New Testament takes place. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel," and with who? Judah. So that's all the 12 tribes. You had Israel in the northern kingdom, and you had Judah in the southern kingdom. Okay? "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them out of the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord." See, they broke that covenant, but he still loved them, didn't he? He was a husband to them. And he says, verse 33, But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inner parts and write it upon their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquities and I will remember their sin. How many? No more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by the day, and the ordinance of the moon, and of the stars for the light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof for roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. That's a new covenant provides for them to be identified in Christ and him in them according to the prophetic program. That's over here. So they have the opportunity to be in Christ and Christ is in them. That's why he's telling them in John, go back to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. By the way, when he talked about in Jeremiah 31, 34, when he talks about you will soon no more tell those about the Lord, and Acts chapter 3, verse 19, Peter is addressing to the nation Israel, saying, Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's over here.
That's just what he was talking about. Yeah.
That's exactly what he's talking about. So Peter knows what Jeremiah is saying. That's a good thing, because you know what? They're letting the Word of God teach them. And they got, by that time, Peter has a spirit in him. He knows how to discern things. Peter ain't talking about, and Paul's coming up and tell you some things. That's before Paul, wasn't it? Where did I say to go? John 17, verse 17. John 17, 17. John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. You think it's that green grass?
No.
It's not that. It's to his people. The world. God sent him into the world. Verse 19. For their sake I sanctify myself, that they shall also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their what? Word. Verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, for that they also might be one in us, that the world might believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them. Who's them? Talking about disciples, right? Apostles, okay? And given that they may be one, even as we are one. See, he's telling the apostles, this is your commission, and if I'm one with you and you're one with me, when you go spread this word and they believe you, guess what they are? They're a part of who? A part of Christ. Okay? Verse 23, I in them, and thou in me, that thou may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as they hast loved me. That's a program that God is setting up for the apostle. He's saying, what he's trying to tell them is, hey, if you're in me and I'm in you, and you go ahead and share this word, and they believe that, they're in you and I'm in you. They're all one. You understand that?
Well, yeah. It's just that you said, as they have loved me, and it's thou.
As thou. Thank you. Thou. Yeah. As thou love you, as thee, thou. Yeah. Matthew chapter 11. So when he sends them out with a commission, he's sending them out to understand that they're representing who? Jesus Christ. With authority. And when they believe that, remember when we were right back there before talking about if you went into a city? This is... You remember that? Where was that at? When they went into the city and knocked the dust off the feet? Verse 11, 10, 11. chapter 10, verse 11, Matthew. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who is in it worthy, and abide till they go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of the house or city, say, shake off the dust of your feet. Now, does that sound like a good Christian thing to do? He tells the disciple, if you go in that town, and you come to that yarber's house, and they're not worthy, you shake the dust off your feet and get out of there, basically. They're judging people here, people. Look at verse 14. And who is... verse 15. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than that city. In other words, if you went in there and they rejected you, the apostles rejected you with the message that God told them to do, and they departed, it was more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember what happened in that place? It rained fire and brimstone, didn't it? More tolerable than them, the people that rejects that message. That's serious. Now today we walk in, we're afraid of rejection. Oh my gosh, you know, God's going to get you that type. No. But think about that. And he says, what else does it say? Verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, but ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We went over that. But back over there in verse 40 through 42 of chapter 10, it's very important to know that when he sends them out, they're representing Christ. That's what it's all about in that commission. Now go to chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in whose cities? Their city. Now he's going to their cities and starting to preach what he's telling them who he is. But what did it say by the end of commanding? You see in chapter 10, verse 5, he commands them. Chapter 11, verse 1, he ends at the end of commanding his 12. So chapter 10 is all about him commanding or commissioning them to do what God entitled them to do. It is important to understand that all of chapter 10 is commissioning, and he gave the apostles. It begins in verse 5, like I just said, and goes all the way to the end of the chapter. The cities that he mentioned, of course, were located around the Sea of Galilee. You know, every one of those apostles, disciples, was from the north except Judas. And he was from Judah area. And I hate to say he was from the south. That hurts me a little bit. But anyway, in verse 21, in that chapter, he mentions a couple of them. I'm not going to pronounce those words for the sake of time. But they're near the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's important to remember that because all of this connection with what he has gone on before and will in the chapters ahead, you need to understand what he's leading up to. Matthew tells us that he taught them in chapter 5 through 7. He shows you how he demonstrated himself to be the rightful king in chapters 8 and 9. In chapter 10, he commissions his apostles. That's why it's very, very important. What do we say about the book of Matthew? Well, it's a what? Transition books. If you can understand it, there's three hard books to understand in your Bible. Matthew, what is it? Acts and what? Hebrews. They're kind of hard to understand because something's going on there. It's a transitional book. And in chapters 11 and 12, Matthew's going to relate how Christ was rejected, and you see the opposition hardening. You'll see them starting to hate who he is in chapters 11 and 12. And then Matthew demonstrates that it's obvious that he's going to be rejected. as the rightful king. And that's why he goes start talking about parables, and we'll start reading this. In Matthew 13:1, he has gotten to a place, I'm just sharing this with you, he's gotten to a place where he goes outside of the house. He's no longer in the house of Israel, if you will, trying to get everybody. But he's outside the house, and he speaks to them in mysteries and parables of the kingdom. He finally puts a distance between himself and the nation Israel. Now, this word's not in the Bible, apostate. Okay, you know what that is, don't you? Okay, that's who Israel was. All they rejected, and as you know, God left them spiritually. He left them politically. God ordains governments, did He not? We all agree to that, okay? He set Israel up to be a kingdom of priests and have authority, and under that authority there was a government system that He used Israel to do. And He set it up. Kings, princes, and you know, nations and all that stuff. Alright? When they became apostate, in a way that they believed, they started whoring around with other gods. I'm not using that term loosely. That's a God-given term. And they started going after other gods. God gets up, and I've done shared this with you in the book of Daniel, and we'll study this in Daniel. He gets up from the mercy seat. He goes over to the threshold, going, and then finally gone. He leaves them politically, but was Israel still in power there? So the government's still there. So this should help you understand some things, that just because God ordained government don't necessarily mean He ordained the people that's in power there. You with me? Okay? He left them politically. Then He comes along in the Spirit. God, you know, John the Baptist was a man sent from God.
Absolutely.
Sent from God. And what did He do?
Cut His head off.
The Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, represented God the Father as His Son. What did they do to Him?
Crucified.
And then we also look at Stephen as God being represented as the Holy Spirit. Strike three. He leads them spiritually. So they're in a world shape right now. So the Lord Jesus Christ comes down in Matthew and tries to restore them again, the rightful heirs and possessors of the government structure that God set up. He's the King. I'm here. And then you begin and get into a chapter 11, verse 1. He says that chapter 11, verse 1, what we just read. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of the commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and to preach their cities. Matthew 11:2. We'll get through this verse. John the Baptist, look at this. Now when John the Baptist had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of His disciples. John the Baptist is in prison. And he's been there since, you know how long he's been there? Not in prison. Okay, we're in chapter 11, right?
Yeah.
Go to chapter 4.
Chapter 4.
Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verse 12 says, Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, He departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, He came into the dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast and the borders of Zebulun, and was that? Okay. But he's in, John's in prison in chapter 4, and Jesus Christ goes, whoop, out of here. You're thinking, where are you at, brother? You know, you're the King, you're the Messiah, you know, you just left me in prison. And he stays in prison from chapter 4, and now we're in chapter 11. And Mark 6:17, verse 20 tells you about that too. Upon He is beheaded in Matthew 14. So he's in Matthew chapter 4, all the way over to Matthew 14. John's in prison, and that's where he gets beheaded. In Matthew 11:2, John here... Well, he's in there at least 2 years. Okay? But that's not what I'm trying to get at. I'm just trying to share that he's in prison a long time. Okay? And if you got a Bible, sometimes it shows you up here in Matthew. You can do this. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 is A.D. 27. At the end of A.D. 27. A.D. 31, then he's in prison to 14. He's in prison a good year. To play it safe, he's in a good solid year. That's a long time. John hears about the ministry Christ is doing and sends two of his disciples to Jesus and asks them a question. What does he say? Where am I at? Chapter 11, verse. And he sent unto them, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" That's the question that they asked him. Now you compare that statement with 1 John, hold your finger in 1 John chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29 says, "The next day John sent Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin." You know it still say sins? "Take away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I come baptizing with water. And John bared record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, remaineth on him, the same is he which baptized with him the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bared record that he is the what? The Son of God." Now wait a minute now. You believe what you just read? He's talking about John the Baptist baptizing Jesus, coming, and he acknowledged that he's the Son of God. Now what did you just read in Matthew chapter 11 verse 2? 3. Okay, what's going on, John? You acknowledge that he was the Son of God. Now you're in prison. You're like, go ask him if he's one that. Go ask him if that shall come and do, or do we look for another? This is not a lack of faith. One thing you got to understand. We'll wrap this up here. This is not a lack of faith on John's part or disbelief. Because who was John? He was a man sent from God. He was also the Lord's cousin. Remember when Elizabeth told and said, "Hey, I'm pregnant," and what did little John do in the tummy? 6 months old? Woo. You know, leap for joy because, hey, the Messiah's coming. Okay? Jesus Christ clearly describes John as a sturdy man. Look at verse 7, Matthew 7. 11 verse 7. I get a little tongue tied. No, Matthew. "And as he departed, Jesus began saying unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind?" And was John the Baptist out there as a weed going, "I'm a guy sent by God"? No, he was a sturdy man, and he proclaimed the gospel, and he was strong in the faith. John's problem was that he was confused because he understood his role as the front runner of the Messiah. Whether you believe it or not, he understood that. And the kingdom of God was at hand, and Israel's deliverance was intimate and would take place speedily. Hold your finger there and go. I've got to go through this. Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Just to change the subject just for a minute, while I'm in this chapter 28, I need for you to look at two verses. Verse 11 and 12. Isaiah 28, 11 and 12. For with stammering lips and other tongues will he speak to this people, to whom he says, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is refreshing, yet they would not hear. Does that remind you of anything? Stammering lips? Not so much Paul. Not so much Moses.
Pentecost.
People say, oh, speaking in tongues. That's stammering lips. And he used it for a reason. But anyway, that's not, you know, that's something you think about. Verse 16, where I'm going. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, of a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. He was waiting on that. Here comes a stone. Here he's moving on. But here John sits in prison. Go back to Matthew. John sits in prison and he asks the question based on what he has heard about the works Christ is performing. The bottom line is that John knows about Christ the Messiah, and he's just offended by his works and his lowly service, and did not understand what the delay was. He's expecting the kingdom to come. And where is the kingdom? And why am I in jail? And his patience was being severely tested. And next lesson we'll pick up the fact that that's the kingdom saints is going to be severely tested. See, all that plays in picture, and they use each other referring to John. Until next week. Lord, thank you for the things you've given us freely in your Son, Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.